tell you something. You're here today, you're hurting. It's God and God alone that will help you. You're in distress today. It's God and God alone. This one verse, Matthew 11:28, was on my heart all week. And then as I was studying it, Rod, I saw something that I never saw before. So if you'll turn to Matthew 11:28, here's the title of the message, John Boy. Are you heavy laden? Are you heavy laden? We're so glad for each one of you to be here, visitors and faithful members. We're so glad you're here today. And we probably got about 100 people out there at the land today, too. So you could just count this and another 100 people or so out there. So it's pretty exciting. Amen. There's a lot of heavy hearts. A lot of people are going through some real hardships right now. Sickness and financial burdens and pressures. And boy, just coping with it every day, dealing with what's going on in the world, with from the economy to the gas prices to you name it. It's stressful. How many believe it's stressful? And all I could think about was this verse every day during the week, Matthew 11:28. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Although I'm going to preach from 28, and I hope you'll come back tonight for the honorary doctorate. Pastor Dave's going to, that's a really special service. It's very rare if someone gets that. And he's worthy of what they're doing for him. I hope you can be here. It'll be a very special night. Very special night. Now, my voice is not real strong. And I had a rough night. Couldn't hardly sleep. And so I've not got a real powerful voice this morning. But look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 28. I'm going to preach from 28. But I saw something that I never saw before, Brother Rod. These prior verses to 28 are kind of like those verses for Romans 5:8 that lead up to it. I never saw it until I studied it this week. I want you to look at verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11. When you first read these, you're going to say, well, this hasn't got nothing to do with Matthew 11:28. But you let me preach and you give me a chance, you'll see at the end, you'll say, wow, that really does make a lot of sense. Notice in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11, then began he, that's talking about Jesus. Jesus began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto Chorazin, woe unto the Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in that you had been done in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more terrible for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum. Boy, Jesus did a lot in Capernaum, by the way. Which are exalted unto heaven shall be brought down to hell. Boy, those are some powerful words. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. He said, if Sodom would have seen the great works I did in you, they would have repented. Wow, that's a statement. Because Sodom was really off the chart. So there's hope for San Francisco. And California. But I say unto you, Jesus is saying it, not me. Verse 24. That it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven. Boy, I like this. King James Bible's got it right, don't it? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. 27 is a special verse. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And to me, soever the Son will reveal. Did you understand what I just read to you? People say they know God, but they don't know Jesus. Jesus said, liar, liar, pants on fire. You can't know God unless you know Jesus. When I got saved, when I was 20 years old, when I trusted Christ as my Savior from the old green couch, for the first time I found out who God was. Because when I made Christ my Savior, then I knew the Father also. You can't know God until you know Jesus. And you don't know Jesus unless you know the Father. They're both the same. Then look at the last verse. Come. Boy, that, Tommy, that's one of the, to me, that's one of the greatest words in all the Bible. Come. To think that God Almighty would look down on us unworthy people, we the scum of the world, and he'd say, come on, I want you anyways. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Boy, Annie, in a world of stress and turmoil, if there was a time America needed rest, if there's ever a time that we need rest today, Brian, we need it now. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that I could be a blessing to your people. I know for a fact you put this in my heart. I know for a surety I'm preaching exactly what you told me to do. And I pray, dear God, I can be a blessing. I pray, dear God, that the truth of this verse will be put in their heart like you put it in mine. And I pray that you'll bless each one here today and be with those that couldn't be here. And I pray for Dr. Keyson and the Filipinos that will come tonight, that you'd give them a safe journey here and that we'd have a very special night to be blessed, not only Pastor Dave, but all the people. We ask, Lord, that if there'd be anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior today, that they would see that Christ Jesus loves them very much, and that he wants them to come to him and receive him as Savior. We ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to, real quickly, I want you just to look at verse 20 on down. Brother Carl, I'm going to do a little expository preaching. And what that means, I'm going to we're going to look at the verse, and then I'm just going to tell you what that verse means. Expository. I'm going to do expository preaching to you. Look at verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. By the way, when you look in verse 21, you'll see he mentions those cities. He mentions those two cities. And by the way, look what he says, woe. When God says woe, you better be careful. You're in judgment. Woe. In other words, great judgment. Are you with me? And in verse 20, when the Lord does mighty acts and works for people, he expects them to respond. God just doesn't do things to make people say, wow. He expects people to respond. He expects people to respond in repentance to his grace and mercy. When he extends grace and mercy, when he extends blessings, he wants the people that he bestows them upon to respond to what the act that he did for them. He did these great acts. Healed the blind, raised the dead, made the lame to walk, cleansed the leopards, did all kinds of things, and yet they never responded. I remember in one passage, he healed 10 leopards, and only one came back. Remember that? And he said, I did all this, and you didn't repent or nothing. You didn't turn to me at all. You know, don't stay here in Matthew. Don't turn. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. People need to realize one thing. There's a sovereign God. Amen. There's a holy God. There's a God Almighty in heaven. And they need to see that he's God, and they're lost sinners, and that they need to repent of their sin and trust him as Savior. Notice 20, verse 21, two woes of the judgment. Woe, Chorazin. Woe, Bethsaida. How many see that? God said, I did great works for you, and you did not repent. appreciate what I extended to you. In all the cities of Tyre and Sidon, if they had seen him, they would have repented. He gave these, see verse 21? He said, if Tyre and Sidon had, if I had done them in there, they would have repented. Man, you guys are really bad. Are you with me? Because if I'd have done what I did in your towns, these people would have appreciated what I'd done, and they would have repented and come to Christ. Are you still with me? You know, people should not take God's blessing and mercy for granted. Boy, when I studied this, I thought about Romans chapter 2, verse 4. See, these people, God was good to these people. God was good to you, Romans, you that took the Romans class. God was good to these people, yet they didn't realize he was good for one reason, to bring them to salvation. Romans 2, 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? And forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. He said, I did all this so you'd see how good I was to you. You'd say, God, I deserve hell, but Lord, I'm going to repent and I'm going to turn to you because you're a great God. They didn't do it. Look at verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee that had been done in Sodom, it would have remained under this. He said, I would have never destroyed Sodom. Eddie, can you guys grab how big a statement this is? The Bible said Sodom was exceedingly wicked. Genesis 13, 13. And he said, if I would have did these things, the miracles and the acts that I did in Capernaum, if I would have did these in Sodom, they'd still be here. I wouldn't have had to destroy them. Brother Mike, that's a powerful statement. And they were exceedingly wicked in Sodom. Are you thinking with me? I want you to think about these statements that Christ is making. These are unbelievable statements. He's saying, hey, you're without excuse. Even the most wicked of cities I've destroyed, if I'd have done these in those cities, they would have repented. And you didn't even do it. And then notice verse 24. I'm trying to get to 28 because that's the one I want to preach on. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for that land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. He said, you're going to be judged harder and more severe than Sodom. Wow. Look up here. You think America's not going to be judged? Brother Bill is great as blessing. God has blessed our country beyond measure. And America turns their cheek away from God. I was listening to one of them. And I can't watch it because I get too upset when I watch them. They're talking about the upcoming election. And they said, we got to get this one man in because if we don't get him in, they might get more Supreme Court judges to the far right and they'd abolish Roe versus Wade. In other words, we want to keep a wicked man in so we can keep our killing of people in abortion. I mean, they actually said it on TV. I couldn't believe it. They said, we got to bring, they're going to bring more judges that would overturn Roe versus Wade. And then we couldn't kill those innocent babies. The unborn. Amen? Well, you think God's not going to judge America? All the great riches that God has given America. We've been blessed. We've been so blessed beyond measure. And then look at verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Oh, man, I love that. Look who saw the importance of God's grace and repented. It wasn't the wise. And it wasn't the prudent. I'm gonna talk to you about who responded to God's grace. In first, don't if you want, to, but hold your hand in Matthew because I'm coming right back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, Not many noble are called. Don't get a big head, Eddie. Most of us are just a bunch of plain fellows that had enough sense to believe in God. Did you ever notice the real highfalutin smart people? They usually say there's no God. They'll just say, it's just you bunch of hillbillies that believe God. Hello? Them dumb hillbillies? Are you with me? I'm not calling you dumb. I'm just saying what people that think they're smart call us. Oh, those dumb Christians. Amen. You see, you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty. Boy, you kids are back there really smart. You're lucky you got saved. That's amazing. Because not many smart people get saved. But when they get saved, they're wise. Amen. That's why the wise men still seek after Christ. Not many mighty men, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught, the things that are, that no flesh shall glorify in his presence. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the average Joe will believe in God, but the guy that's up, the guy that's real rich and the guy that thinks he's smarter than anybody, usually they trust in themselves. You trust in yourself, you're never going to make it. I want you to look at verse 26. Yeah, by the way, the humble in heart are the ones that come to Christ. Lord, I'm just a sinner. I need you. Amen. Look at verse 26. Back in Matthew 11. And it says in verse 26, Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Did you get what he's saying there? It blessed God to see the humble come to him. Oh, I know the wise think they're too smart. Oh, there's no God. There's no heaven. There's no rapture. There's no place called a mansions in glory. You guys are just a bunch of foolish people, all right? But we that say, Lord, we're lost sinners and we just want to come to you the best we can. He said, I like that. How many see that? Even so forth, it seemed good in thy sight. God enjoyed seeing people humble themselves and come to him. Amen? Now look at verse 27. For all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. I know that seems like it's, what's it mean? What is that? You can't know God until you know Jesus. The Lord said, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. A lot of people say they believe that. Oh, I believe in God. The Bible says in James, the devil believe in God and tremble. People don't know God until they know Jesus. All my life, I believe there was a God. By the way, people are born with a God conscience. He was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. John 1:6. If that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? Matthew 5:23. Can anyone say amen? Amen. The Bible teaches that there's two preachers or there's two witnesses to every man that's ever born. I don't care if he's born in Africa or if he's born down here in Wyndham or Ravenna or anywhere else. Poland, you name it. The creation's a witness. And the God conscience. That's why you little kids, you got a little baby. When she gets a little bit older, she can talk. So she'll look up and she'll say, Mommy, where's God? Wonder why that little girl would say that, why that baby would say that. She was born with a God conscience that God is. And if you don't darken that, God will give you more light till you see Christ. See, that's why it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, Hebrews 11:6. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, you see. Amen? And so, Brother Jack, when you guys are out soul winning, Brother David, when you're out soul winning, someone says, well, I believe God. I believe in God. Say, well, Well, what do you know about God? Who is God? Oh, well, I don't know about that. If God, here's what you say, Brother Dave, when you guys are out soul winning. As they say, I believe in God. Say, well, if you died today and stood before God, and he'd say, why should I let you in heaven? What would you say? If you believe in God, yes. All right, if you died today and stood before God, and he'd say to you, why should I let you in heaven? What would you say? That's what you say to those people who say that to you. And if they don't answer, I would tell them, because I trusted, put my faith in his Savior, Jesus Christ, his Son. If they don't say that, they don't know God. Because he didn't know what the Father, knows the Son. If they don't know the Son, they don't know God. If they've never received Christ's, come here, Austin. You're going to be Jesus right now. Okay? Well, I got good looking grandkids, don't I? And let's just pretend Austin's Jesus. And I'm saying, I believe in God. I believe in God. But when I grew up, all my life, I said I believed in God. All when I was growing up on the streets, I said I was God. There was a God. I even went to church a few times. Then I became a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Ask God, and I even said a prayer. Joined the church. Got baptized. But I still wasn't on the way to heaven. And I was in a Baptist church. And I was going every week. And I read my Bible. But one day I was reading my Bible. And for the first time in my life, I saw myself a lost sinner. And I realized that Jesus died just for me. And that he was the only way to get me. See, some people are counting on good works. Some people are counting on religion. Some people are just counting on, I hope so. I hope I make it. If you're one of those, I hope I make it, you're not going to make it. Salvation is not a hope so. Salvation is a no so. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. But I got down from an old green couch, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I was 20 years old, 1034 and a half Sherman Street. And the day I asked Jesus to come to my heart and be my Savior, that's the day I met God. Because Jesus and God are one. You say, I don't understand. I don't understand it all either. I just believe what the Bible says. Amen. See, before I said that, I knew there was a God, but I didn't know him. For instance, come here, Lightning. Come here, Lightning. This is Josh. He's the fastest kid in our school. Jordan. But I heard that Levi's faster than you. Is Levi faster than you? I thought you were the fastest kid in school. This kid's fast, I'm going to tell you right now. Let's pretend he's George Washington. First president of the United States. Oh, George. I could have made you Abe Lincoln, no beard though. Now, how many know about George Washington? If you know about George Washington, would you raise your hand? Now, how many have ever personally met George Washington? How many have ever personally met him? Went up and talked to him and shook his hand. Nobody. Not in this congregation. If you did, I want to talk to you. You're a time traveler. No. And that's the way God and Jesus is with most people. They know about him. They have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart knowledge. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confesses man salvation. So just because people know about George Washington don't mean that they know him. They say, oh, I know him, but you don't really know him because you've never met him. Oh, I know all about God and Jesus, but until you invite Christ into your heart, you really don't. You know about him, but you don't know him personally. Thank you, fellas. You can go. How many got what I was just trying to show you? Amen. And so, we see here that you must know Jesus as your personal Savior to know God the Father. Now, I want you to see verse 28, and it's already quarter of. Look at verse 28. Look at the first word, come. But now, did you just realize? This verse is really exciting to me now. More than ever, it's always been exciting. Did you just realize what we just read from 20 to 27 to 27? God was talking all about judgment. God, from verse 20 on, God's saying, I did mighty works and you didn't believe on me. You didn't repent. I did mighty works. You're nothing but low slime. You're going to be judged worse than them. I mean, you're still with me. I mean, here God is pronouncing judgment on all those people because all the things he did, yet they didn't do nothing for him. Although he did mighty works, they didn't do anything to respond to him. And he was pronouncing judgment. Are you with me yet? Get this. He's standing, the Lord is rebuking on verse 20 to 26. He's rebuking, he's pronouncing judgment on those who he did great mighty works for because they rejected him and they didn't repent. But then verse 28 comes and he opens up the floodgates of heaven because we go from judgment to love. We go from condemnation to an open invitation. How many are with me? Oh, it's so beautiful. Look at the words in verse 28. Notice the difference of tone. Notice the different tone of God's heart. When you're reading verse 20 on down through 26, he's talking about judgment. Woe unto you. Woe. Hello? Judgment? You should have, all the great things, you didn't respond to me? You deserve hell? Hello? And then he says this. I'm not going to blame you for what the others have done. Look what he said. Oh, man, this is so great. He gives an open invitation. Look what he says. Come. I love that word. Come unto me. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God's saying, you know what? I know all messed up, but you know what? I can't stop loving you. I want you to come. You know, I can just see him, Andy, with his arms open. I want you just to come. And, you know, I thought about the scripture, how he said, and he had the little children come. You know, he said, suffer the little children come and forbid them not for such a king. You know, when you're saved, you're a child of God. Kenny, even though you're a full-grown man, you're just a God's child. And Kenny, God wants you just to crawl up, just like those little kids crawled up in his lap. He wants you to just crawl. When you're sad, discouraged, and down, Ronnie, he wants you just to crawl up in his lap and let him take care of you, hug you. You're a child in God's eyes. Hello, are you still with me? And what's so great, he goes from judgment and condemnation to an open invitation to come and be free. Isn't that beautiful? And he said, come to me and I'll give you, you that are hurting, come to me and I'll give you comfort and hope. It's like the Lord saying, I'm not going to blame you for all the rejection of the others. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and come is not a rejection or a condemnation. Come is an invitation with wide open arms. Come unto me. Don't go to the world. Don't try to find comfort and peace in the world. You won't find it. A lot of people try to find comfort in the world from alcohol and drugs and different things. Don't go to the world. Listen, if hurting people could realize today, the comfort of the world will not give you comfort. It's only Christ that can comfort you. He's the God of all comfort. Amen? Amen? Notice the word in verse 28. Come unto me. Don't go to the world. Come unto me. You need help? You need hope? You need comfort? You need someone to take you through this? Don't go to the world. Come unto me. Come unto me. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. The answer's looking up to him. Moses raised the serpent and said, look up, all that look up will live. It's a type of Christ. You look unto him and you live. Can anyone say amen or oh me? Now notice this. And he says, come unto me and look who can come? Oh, I love that. All people. Can you help me see that? Oh, preacher, God wouldn't want me to come. I'm too bad. Oh, preacher, I've done too many wicked things. Oh, God, I've done, preacher, you don't understand. If you knew what I did in my life, God would never, no. He said, I want all people. I want all people. I wrote this down. You know what all means? You know what all means? Hallelujah. It means you. It means me. It means everyone. No one excluded. Look up here. There are people going through this life right now. They live with shame and heartache and brokenness. And they think, well, I could not turn to God because God doesn't love me and God would never receive me and God would never forgive me. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are, what you are, where you've been or what you've done, God will receive you. Amen. Matter of fact, he's standing there, come. I want you to come. I got my arms wide open. I just want you to come. Come. Ye that, notice the words, ye that labor and are heavy laden. I looked up those words in the dictionary, the old 1828 Western Dictionary. Labor means to move with painful effort. I carried all those 50 boxes over here the other day. The next day I had painful effort. It was painful. It means to be pressed, to toil, to be burdened, to be distressed. Heavy laden means burdened down, carrying a heavy load. You that are oppressed and are weighed down with many things, he says, come. I want you to come. I see your burden. I see your heartache. You that are depressed, you that are discouraged, you that are disappointed with life. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people today living that are disappointed with life. And you that are hurt down with deep within, you that are hurting inside that no one can see, but I can see it. I want you to come. Who should come? Well, you that are sick that should come. I thought about the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years. She tried everything, Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. By the way, if you look at Matthew 14 later, you'll see that as many people came and touched his hem. Word got around. Hey, all you got to do is touch the hem of his garment. Look at that. I'll show you real quickly. I still got 10 minutes before you're going to get worried. Look at Matthew 9:20. Behold, a woman which was diseased, had an issue of blood, 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. By the way, you know the story. She was whole. You know the story that she went to every doctor. She spent all that she had and nothing helped her. And when she had nothing else and could turn nowhere else, she finally turned to Christ. By the way, turn to Christ first. Don't exhaust all the world. Just forget about the world. Just turn to the one you can go right now, to Jesus. He's the one that can help you. But if you look in chapter 14 of Matthew, see if I can find that verse. Let's see, can I find it? I can't. It says that many came. 36? Yeah, the last verse in the Bible. I was in chapter 13. Matthew 14, 36. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched were made perfectly. I mean, in chapter 9, this lady gets out and she gets healed, man. She gets healed because she went to the right person. She went to God and God alone. She went to Jesus and Jesus alone. See, we're searching for a lot. Listen, just go to the source. And she got healed. Man, the word got out. Hey, this woman touched his hem and was healed. You can't believe how many people are looking for the hem. The word got out, Brother Carl, and they were just dying to just touch his hem of his garment. Hello? Those were hurting people. Those were sick people. Those were needful people. Are you still with me? They were downtrodden people. They were discouraged people and depressed people. They were diseased people. And as soon as they touched him and they made contact with him, they were healed. You want healing today? Touch the hem of his garment. Who can come? Oh, those who should come, not just those that are sick, but those who are in sorrow. We've got people that's lost loved ones here. I thought about Martha and Mary over in John chapter 11, verse 21. Lord, if thou had been here, they were hurting. They had great sorrow. Some of you have got some great sorrow right now. You've lost someone that you love. Someday we'll all be together and you'll never have to say goodbye to them again. But right now, some of you, you've lost husbands and wives and children and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and you've lost people that you really love and you miss them and say, oh God, I can't get over it, Lord. The sorrow won't leave my heart. Jesus walked up and Martha said, boy, if you just would have been here. How many believe her and Mary were sorrowing? But he brought her back, and that sorrow turned into joy, didn't it? Well, one day he's going to bring us to those people, and we're going to have our sorrow is going to be turned to joy. But notice what the Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Can I say something to you? I think I've got the greatest deacons in the world. I really do. I think my deacons here are tremendous. And they would do everything to help comfort you. But in all they could do, they can never do what God can. I think I've got great preachers with me. And I love you with all my heart. And I wish, there's times I wish, oh God, take that heart from them and put it in me so I can suffer, not them. But you know what? God is the only one that can help you. And unless you go to him, you'll forfeit that comfort. How many are still with me? Grandma, when you get, I know you miss your husband. Me and Rosie have been married now 39 years, and I know you were with your husband for like 50-some, wasn't it? 60? Years. Can you believe? And I know there's other widows in my church. I've got a lot of widows in my church. I've got a widower. I know what you're going through. You miss that spouse. You think of that spouse all the time. I wish I could bring him back for you. I can't. But I know one that can help you. I know one that can put the balm of Gilead on you and give you some healing and give you comfort. His name is Jesus. And you widowers that are so lonely, and you that lost children, and you that lost husbands and grandparents, and you that are hurting so bad, you listen to the preacher. All ye that are heavy laden, come unto me. I see you. I see the tears. I see your sorrow. I see your hurt. I see at nighttime when you're depressed and lonely. I see it. Come to me. Amen. Don't try the world. Just come to me. I'm the one that can give you the answer. No one can take that place but him. Who can come? The scarred can come. Who should come? The sick. Who should come? Those in sorrow with hurting hearts and aching hearts. Who should come? You that are scarred and fearful. You know, you that are scared and fearful. This is a terrifying world. I was talking to Pastor Dave yesterday. Boy, you almost can't read the paper. You almost can't watch the news. This world is terrifying. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back. But our country's in real trouble. There are some great things underlying that, Bobby, I know we know, but most people don't even realize. They don't even realize what's happening to America. If you folks knew what was going on in America, some of you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. America's in real trouble. I'm just hoping God will extend mercy on America. I mean, you think about this country. People are scared. I tell you, I know. People are fearful today. I mean, even Christian people. Preachers are fearful. I mean, they're scared. Because they don't know what a day's going to hold. But I know who's holding the day. Think about national disasters. We've got flooding all through Indiana and all down through the Mississippi. All down through, we've got hurricanes. The Filipinos just had some major storms over there a week ago. Several people lost their lives. It seems like every time you read, there's an earthquake in Japan or California. I mean, this whole world is shaking and rattling. The waves tossing. How many believe we live in a turbulent world? People are losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. I was talking to Brother Joe. He works for Chrysler. Cindy told me yesterday he called and wished his happy anniversary. And they said Joe's not going back to work till the late end of August. I talked to a young man this week. He's out of state. They bought a home 8 years ago. They lived in this home for his son grew up in that. Well, both his kids grew up in it. They had to leave it this last week. He said, "Preacher, we're gone. We got a two-bedroom apartment." He had a home that he just put $100,000 into it about a year and a half ago. His house was appraised for $250,000. Over $250,000. He got some financial problems. He couldn't even sell the house because houses have dropped so much. He couldn't even get $100,000 for the property that he had $250,000 in. You think people aren't fearful? Hello? How many are still with me? You think people aren't in financial straits? Do you think people aren't distressed with just everyday living? When we go to bed tonight, we don't know if the gas might be $5 tomorrow. And then then you think about the guy that makes minimum wage. How does that guy even make enough money to pay to get gas in his car to go to work? By the way, you got to start calling your congressmen and tell them, I don't care what the liberals say, you start drilling all the oil you can. We got more oil than all the Arabs in the Middle East. We got oil that takes us for thousands of years. America's got all kinds. We don't have to be dependent on them. We need to kick those liberals out and get going again. Why should we be dependent on foreign oil? We got more oil than we can ever use in our own country. It's ridiculous to let people do that to us. Men and women have shed their blood, gave their lives so we can have freedom, and we're letting the oil can destroy us. I'm upset over it. It's about time people speak up and speak out. But I'm telling you right now, even the average church member, by the way, it's 12, it's 3 after 12, so you ain't got to trick your neck off. The average person in this city, they wonder if they're going to have their job tomorrow. They wonder how they're going to fill their gas tank up. They wonder what, and we that have grandchildren, we wonder, dear Lord, if it's this bad now, what are my grandbabies going to see? If you tarry, you're coming. Well, Jesus said to those that had fear in Matthew 14, 27, remember that out in the storm? He said, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. He said in John 16, 33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me, you might have peace. You want peace? It's found in Christ. That in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I know that all the world's going apart, but be of good cheer, Christian. I've overcome. Amen. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is a victory, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to be an overcomer? Put your faith in Christ. I want to close with this. Who can come? You that are scarred within. You that are suffering inside. You that have hurt where no one can see or feel, but God can see it.
and God feels your hurt. You that Jesus said, come unto me. I know what you're going through. Jesus said, come unto me. I know what your agony is. Jesus said, come unto me. I know what you're feeling inside. Jesus said, come unto me. I see your suffering without and within. Jesus said, come unto me. I know you've got a broken heart. Jesus said, come unto me. I know you've got loneliness. Jesus said, come unto me. I know you got depression. I know you got fears. I know you got torment. I know you got tears and stress and you're frustrated and you have doubts and fears. He just said, all you that are sick and sorrowful and have fears, come unto me. Come unto me. All you that are stressed out, come unto me. All you that are worried about tomorrow, come unto me. And I will give you rest. We have a whole country that's being stressed out. But the God of heaven's crying out to you and me tonight. By the way, I get depressed. I don't know if, how many ever get depressed? I do. I'm not going to lie to you. You say, you're the preacher. I can't help it. I'm just a man. I know I'm God's man. But by the way, did you know R.A. Torrey, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived? People came from miles to hear Dr. R.A. Torrey preach. Did you know Dr. R.A. Torrey, as great as he was, did you know he got so much depression that usually he would have to take 3 months to 4 months out of the year and just go away and be by himself because he had so much depression? You didn't know that, did you? Listen to me. We're all hurting in some way. We got sicknesses. We got sorrow. We got stress. We got fears. We got doubts. We got tears. We got agony. We're hurting. We're hurting outside. We're hurting inside. And Jesus said, isn't that amazing? He just put a judgment on all that. But he says, I don't care about them now. You're more important. I want you to come to me. And you that are hurting, you that are laboring, you're just like a lady labors and have a baby. That's a stressful time. And you that are heavy laden, burdened down with a lot of worries and cares and stresses, I want you to come to me. Can I help you today in 2008, in the month of June 29th? We're living in a stressful time. It's going to get worse. Come unto me, Jesus said. I'll do what I can to help you, preacher. The preacher will, but it's Jesus that really has the answer. Just seek him. Draw nigh to him. Say, oh God, I need you. Oh God, help this hurt. Take this pain away. Oh God, please help me. Seek him. Seek the Lord. He's open with his arms. I want you to come. And then the last S, sickness, sorrow, scarred and scared. All you that come in, salvation. You that need to be saved, you need to have your sins forgiven, come to Jesus. Because he's the only one that can get you to heaven. He's the only one that can forgive you of all your sins. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know I've got a lot of hurting people today. I've got people with financial stress. I've got people with sicknesses. I got people with sorrow. God, I got people hurting deep within. And oh God, I wish I was you. I would just touch every one of them, but I can't. But I sure feel for them. And Lord, you told me today and all week, tell them, come unto he, come unto me, come unto me. You told me to tell them, come unto me. Lord, today I pray that they'll come. I pray they'll just come and kneel at your feet. Just hold on to your leg. Grab on to any part of them. You, Lord, just comfort them and help them. Give them the victory. And Lord, if there be someone that's never trusted you as Savior, I pray, dear God, that today They would be concerned about where they're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, before we leave, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I've asked Christ to save my soul, and I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put it down. How many would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I really don't want to die in my sins. I really don't want to die and go to hell. And after all that Jesus did, I don't want to be like those other ones that passed up his blessing, his invitation of grace. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Would you pray for me? Who just raised your hand and say, let me pray. I won't come to you. Yes, I see that. Who else? Pray for me. Yes, sir. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? I see that hand. I saw two. Who else? Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. By the way, you can leave today knowing for sure. You can leave today knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. Pastor, include me in that prayer. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'd sure like to know. Pray for me. Anyone like that? And then lastly, I know there's a lot of Christians that are hurting today. How many would just raise their hand to God and say, Lord, I need you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm going through a battle. I'm going through a struggle. Yes, 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 yes. Oh my, yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Hands, so many hands. Today, I want to encourage you just to come forward. I'm going to pray for you, but then I want you to come forward and just get on you and say, Lord, help me. You tell me to come unto me, come unto you, and today I'm going to come to you, Lord. Give me encouragement. Give me guidance. Give me hope and comfort. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. I know there's a hurting people here today. I saw hurt every day of my life this week. Every day I saw people hurting in some area. Lord, I pray for the hurting. Oh God, I pray they'll hear the invitation today that you told me, come unto me that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I pray people will seek the haven of Christ, the rest, the refuge of Christ. And Lord, I pray with all my heart. I saw at least two hands that went up for salvation. I pray those men today would not leave here not knowing that they're saved. And maybe there might be some ladies here, Father. Maybe they didn't raise their hand. I don't know. Might be some young people. But Father, I pray today that people won't leave here not knowing if they're going to heaven or not. Save those that are closest to hell. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, Brother Dave?